Peppermint, why you so nice?
Cause I can be.
Peppermint, how you always right?
Cause I am be.
Peppermint, how you stay looking so nice? Getting dollars in your titties almost every single night.
This is Joe Morgan for Gay Star News. This is the second part of our interview with Peppermint, runner-up of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. In the first, she spoke about coming out as trans on television while dealing with the critics. In this part, she talks about her philosophy on gender, her upcoming college tour with Sasha Velour, and answers that all-important All-Stars question. Enjoy.
Radical, magical, liberal art. Gender is a construct, tear it apart. Wearable art and terrible art. It's a motherfucking world, it's a bearable art.
I think history is important. I think, not only for queer people, but for just, I think, human beings. Our history, our traditions are important. And we don't necessarily need to separate queer or even gay history from just history in general. Mm. You know, Black history, Jewish history, even, you know, Caucasian history, Asian history, European history, you know, talk about the contributions of people who came before us, who hopefully gave us something at least to learn from, including, of course, people like Marsha P. Johnson and other queer and trans people who fought for our rights.
When people watch Project Peppermint, what are you hoping people get from it?
I want people to understand that, yes, I'm a drag queen, which everyone understands, and yes, I'm a trans woman. But there's so much more, and there's so much more of there's a deeper story involved in even just that. Of course, I want them to see some of the thrills and chills that happen on the road during the rise, and hopefully not fast, too fast of a fall, of a drag race personality. Mm. I want them to see a little bit of the behind the scenes, of the crazy life that I've lived now. But I also want them to see some of the struggles and see that realize that it hasn't been so easy. You know, no one has just been created.
Yeah.
Most people's lives are more complex and not as easy as they appear to be, including mine. And I think if there had been something like a Project Peppermint for me to see or watch when I was younger, then things could have been a lot more clear for me a lot earlier than they were.
I feel like so many trans women I know just don't feel that they're represented at all on TV, film. And you've got people like Laverne Cox, but, you know, you need more than Laverne Cox. I know, actually, speaking of Laverne, she's in the documentary, isn't she?
She is. Laverne and I have actually known each other here in New York for so many years. She's a big part of the New York City club scene, and she was. And now she's obviously a little bit more Hollywood.
Yeah.
But we maintain our friendship. We text on a daily basis. We speak quite frequently, and we see each other as often as we can, given our busy schedule.
Mm.
But she and I have always, along with our very close-knit group of girlfriends who happen to be trans, we usually try to get together for some of the big moments in our lives, whether it's performances or birthdays or milestones. And so we've been filming through a lot of those moments. And so, yeah, so Laverne is in the film just because she's so much a part of my life. And you're right, we do need more representation. Laverne is an excellent role model and icon and representative. She's not self-described representative, but she is a great representation of what it and possibility model, I guess, of what a trans woman can be and who a trans woman can be. But I think one of the things that we have to show clearly, what all minorities have to show, and what I think minorities struggle against when they are fighting for equality and visibility, is a more diverse look and a more diverse representation. I think people it's a minority, the majority has a very, very limited view of who that person is. They say one, and they think that that one represents all of us, and that, you know, we're all the same, and we all think the same, and we all have the same needs, and it's just very kind of one-dimensional. And so in order for people to see our community as three-dimensional, I guess, they have to see different shades, shapes, sizes, colors, even some that pass as beautifully and as gorgeous as they would want any woman to, but some that don't, you know? There are trans women who have the body of, who are 6'5", 300 pounds, muscular, and who might even have a beard, you know? And that's either by choice or because they don't have access to what it takes to, you know, make certain changes. And so I think we have to accept that. A lot of people view masculinity and manliness and manhood as natural. You know, if a man doesn't shower and lets his musty, lovely odors come through or scent come through and grow the beard and grunts and farts and burps and lets it all hang out, he's being natural. That's a man. He's natural. But if a woman, you know, and the only way for a woman to be feminine and female is to have perfume and fake flowers and put on makeup and do false things. And she's not, you know, how dare she allow her hair to grow on anything but her head? You know, no hairy legs, no body hair. You have to shower. You have to smell like some chemical flower, you know, whatever. Humans don't smell like that. So it's, I think a lot of the misogyny and trans misogyny and why weren't you dressed like a woman when you were filming and, you know, why aren't you presenting yourself this way and you're not allowed to come into these spaces and blah, blah, blah. All that goes back to kind of a certain sense of misogyny. That men are allowed and have permission to just be natural who they are. Many of them, I'm not saying all, but many of them are allowed if they choose to be. And that naturalness is not necessarily used against them as much as it is against women and trans women. And so I think that's another thing that I want people to take away from my trans experience and then also the movie is that womanhood, my femaleness is not at stake if I don't wear a dress or if I don't paint my nails or glue something onto my face. My womanhood is innate and it's in my brain. It's a part of my spirit and has nothing to do with my body.
So I know it's a bit of an abstract question, but how would you like society to see gender?
I want them to see gender as a set of choices and almost like a language. I think gender is more of a language. It's a very, very developed and refined tool that we use as a group and also individually to communicate what we want. And that's what gender expression is. You know?
Yeah.
So gender and gender expression at times can be different things, but basically in terms of when we're talking about masculinity versus femininity and those behaviors, and when we're talking about visible, things that are visual or visible, these are an unspoken sort of language, or sometimes a spoken language, that we use to communicate to other people, you know, who we are, what we want, how we want to be related or treated, and what we want from other people, and sometimes what our life goals are, what our goals are, what we, you know, some of those things. So that's what gender really is. And in that, it's kind of, there are some choices that can be made when it comes to gender expression. You know, gender on the inside, that's a different story. You have to kind of I believe that we should take people's gender and their gender expression at face value for what, how they're expressing it. And even though there's a language, and sometimes there's language barriers, the only way to get around that or through that is to hear it from the horse's mouth or talk to that particular person to find out how they would like us to get around this barrier. You're coming into the women's bathroom, but I think that you look like a man. But instead of mistreating you, I'm going to talk to you about it and ask you how you would like to be treated. Mm. You know, that sort of thing.
You're going on a college tour, right, with Sasha Velour?
It's in its infancy, I have to say, because we just got off of this national television show or international television show, where we, on the show, we have the idea of, you know, let's go around and speak because we have a lot of similar ideas. So right now we actually just met yesterday and had a delicious vegan meal and we've been planning a tour of colleges right now in the United States, but hopefully internationally later 2018, early 2019. The college tour is going to be happening in 2018 in the United States. So we're going on tour in 2018 to speak with college-age students about politics and society and gender and feeling fabulous and making your own choices and kind of owning them and the power that being a queer person or a gender non-conforming person or a trans person can give you.
How did you connect with Sasha based on what was the thing with Sasha that you connected with?
Well, on the show was where we really made our initial connection, obviously. Sasha, it was actually through some of the conversations that we had in the workroom on the show. When I came out, I wanted to make sure, as I said before, that the tone and the room was, the group would be ready. And to the credit of either the producers or the casting directors or the girl on the show, this cast, season 9 is definitely the most, I think, open-minded, gender-fluid, at least non-judgmental and very supportive group that I've seen on the show in terms of than I've ever seen on the show. And so I felt safe at a very early moment. I felt safe enough to come out. And Sasha had a lot to do with, Sasha's one of the first people to talk about her and social constructs and, you know, being non-binary and speaking up on behalf of you know, drag kings. I think that was one of the very first conversations that we had all had. And I knew from Sasha's opinions and what Sasha was expressing in the time, I knew from that moment on that we were going to have a deep connection. So after I came out to Sasha and the rest of the cast, Sasha and I kind of jokingly said, we really should go on a college speaking tour. And so now we're making it come to fruition.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of great offers from some really prestigious. I can't say just yet, but these are places that I would have never, I don't even know if I would have gotten a job cleaning up in, let alone speaking at.
Wow.
So the fact that they're even considering having us come, having me come, and of course Sasha together is an extreme honor, and I'm really excited to explore that.
Did you still wish you beat her in the final lip sync, though?
Of course I do.
Yeah, also. Good. That's what I thought. That's
I could have used that $100,000 check. Lovely. You know, I didn't have that much self-confidence in the beginning, but after a certain point, after I knew that it would be very difficult for anyone to send me home in a lip-sync battle, I knew that I had a very good chance, and I had my eyes set on the prize, and I never lost sight of that,
yeah.
You know?
Were you quite happy with the switch up of the format then?
I think, I think it's great. I think it's always good to refresh the show. It's been almost 10 years. And there's been a lot of new, I think our cast delivered a lot of firsts. It's the most watched season of Drag Race ever, course, a lot of that is attributed to the changing in the networks that carry the show. It's also, we had a lot of scandals and historic moments, including, of course, we had some crazy scandals on the show, but we also had some great moments that paralleled the show, like RuPaul winning, taking home the Emmy while we were filming, which just really energized our cast. Myself being not the first trans woman on Drag Race, but the first to enter the workroom as an out trans woman, was a historic moment, no matter which way you look at it. Mm. And the fact that I'm the first runner-up on Drag Race ever.
Yeah.
first runner-up.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even realize until, I lost. But I never got an exit interview. I'm the only person on season 9 other than Sasha Velour who RuPaul never told his sachet away.
I mean, in terms of where the show is going to go, do you want to see drag kings? Do you want to see AFAB queens on Drag Race?
Of course I do. I'm in love with drag. Drag Race is one of my favorite TV shows because it's about drag. But I'm in love with drag. I'm in love with the art of drag. And as long as I've been doing drag, I've seen some drag performances that would run circles around me in their performances, in their costumes. Of course, I'm sure no one's surprised about that because I'm not really the most fashionable costumer. But I've seen some really exquisite drag that has turned my head around. And I want the rest of the world to see that. And many of those performances and contributions to drag have come from cisgender women or drag kings. Cisgender women who sometimes we call them bio queens. I can't think of a... I don't know. Some girls are cool with being called bio queens. Some aren't. But self-described bio queens, I'll say. So, I've seen some really amazing things come out of the community. These are people who, if gay men can be inspired by the likes of Liza Minnelli and Diana Ross and Wonder Woman enough to put on a kooky outfit and really wow an audience doing drag, then why can't a woman or a trans man be inspired by the performances of a gay man doing drag enough to put on a costume or a kooky outfit and really wow an audience as well? If doing drag is being about being an illusionist and a performer and a kind of a gender rebel, I don't think gay men own that experience. Gay men don't own gender and gender fuck and playing with rules and all of that. I think humans do, so everyone has the right to it.
There's some amazing drag kings in London. I bet there's tons in New York. And I just want to see. You just want to see that talent showcased.
I know it would be a format change. I know that it could be something that it feels like. It sometimes feels like, oh, maybe the world isn't ready for it based on what we've seen in the past. But I want to give people more credit than that. I think people can take it. It's entertainment, Sometimes it's very thoughtful entertainment, but it's entertainment. And everybody likes the show. So if you can put on a good show, it doesn't matter what's between your legs.
So completely going off topic, I need to ask about Klatt very briefly, because I don't think I've seen... Because I don't think I've seen more memes made out of a single song ever.
I have seen so many people rework Klatt than I have... I mean, I can't even believe it.
Yeah. Every single time the artist says, it's I don't know, some Trixie comment or something. It's just bizarre. It's just so funny. What do you think of the...
It's insane. It's the speed-up version. There's the version... that's just like they take different people and put them in, and like it's almost like a drinking game song. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think of the response to this song, and how did it come about? Actually, I was going to ask.
Well, you know, it was actually my idea.
Mm.
I really wanted to show how strong of a representation, how strong and diverse of a representation New York City can give to season 9. We had 4 really strong girls who all clearly made it very far in the competition, more than halfway, each of us, collectively. Yeah. And so New York had a really strong showing, and I wanted that to continue. I wanted people to see just how tight we are and how different we are. I wanted to get our little New York City girl group together from Drag Race, and Clap was obviously our first foray into music collectively. But we're working on new music. We're actually working on an album right now.
Oh, the four of you.
Later next year.
The four of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fab.
The four of us. Sasha, Aja, myself, and Alexis.
Oh, I can't wait. Do you have... So is there going to be a group name?
You know, we have to... we're still working that out, but we've heard... But some people think that it should be our initial rearranged, which would be AFAB. Yeah, so hopefully, you know, your readers or listeners can contribute and let us know what they think.
Yeah.
What should our name be?
And I have to ask, are you going to do All Stars?
I would do All Stars. I probably would do All Stars, but I guess you'll have to see what happens. they are planning it right now.
Mm-hmm.
My intention, though, is to focus on what I wanted to do. Like I said to myself, you know, if I win the crown, and I'm going to tour the world, travel the world, meet fabulous queer, connect with and meet fabulous queer people in our community and speak out on behalf of the issues that are really important to me, like trans issues and LGBTQ issues. And also, you know, speak out on behalf of trans attracted people. These are the lovers and the people who are the partners of transgender people. And I didn't win the crown, but I'm still blessed with the opportunity to travel the world and speak out on all those issues. So that's my first intention.
Mm.
And then All Stars could be a close second.
Peppermint, why so nice? Because
I can be.
Peppermint, how you always right?
Because I am be.
Peppermint, how you stay looking so nice? Getting dollars in your titties almost every single night.
Learn the tricks. Thanks for listening to part 2 of our interview with Peppermint. Don't forget to listen to part 1. You can find it on the article page or on Gay Star News' channel on Audioboom.
Legend. We are.